everyone. My name is Bernd. I am here in Berlin, and I am the founder of the conference Next Generation Electrolyzers that took place as a virtual event with its first edition in December 2020, and then again in December 2021. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone who has joined our Next Generation Electrolyzers virtual conferences. We had a fantastic audience with so many people taking part in the discussions and asking questions. So this high level of interaction is always a very good sign that obviously the right people came together there. Last year in December, when we had our second edition of Next Generation Electrolyzers, many people have asked me, will there finally be a real life conference next year? And as we have already announced, yes, there will be a real life conference this year, and we are very happy to do that. Our third edition of Next Generation Electrolyzers will take place December 7-8, real life in Berlin. So if you have not yet saved the date, please do. And since this is now a real life event, we have a new name for our event. The third edition of Next Generation Electrolyzers is going to be the Berlin Electrolyzer Conference. So welcome to the Berlin Electrolyzer Conference on December 7-8. As we all know, a real conference needs a real chairperson, and I'm very happy that Bruno Pollet will be the new chairman of the Berlin Electrolyzer Conference to guide us through the technical program and to lead the discussions. Bruno G. Pollet is a professor of chemistry at the Université du Québec à Trois-Rivières and deputy director of the UQTR Hydrogen Research Institute, adjunct professor of renewable energy at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology, NTNU, member of the NTNU Team Hydrogen, which is the largest hydrogen R&D cluster in Norway, extraordinary professor in hydrogen energy at the University of the Western Cape in South Africa, and he has been appointed as president of the Green Hydrogen Division of the International Association for Hydrogen Energy. Recently, Bruno and I have thought about what else we could do for all of you out there. And since we know you are all curious people who always love to learn new things, we decided to bring you some very fresh and exclusive industry insights in a new monthly podcast. And here we are now. Welcome to our Berlin Electrolyzer podcast, hosted by our chairman, Bruno Pollet. So, Bruno, this is now your stage, and I'm looking forward to your introduction of our topic and our guest speaker in this episode number one of our Berlin Electrolyzer podcast.
Thank you very much, Bernd, and thank you very much for introducing this this first Berlin Electrolyzer podcast. I'm absolutely over the moon and delighted to welcome our first speaker, Dr. Alejandro Yase-Barnett, a very well-known figure in the area of fuel cell and electrolyzer technologies. And he has really, over his career, pushed the technology to the forefront. Alejandro is now, he's been working in different institutions, and he's now at a CTO at iStar. And iStar, for those who don't know, is a Norwegian company, a high-tech company specializing in PEM electrolyzers for the production of green hydrogen from water electrolysis. So I have a few questions for Alejandro as an expert in the field. I will have actually three questions for him. So the first question, here, Alejandro, and once again, thank you very much for agreeing to take part of this podcast.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, Bruno. Thank you. Very happy to be with you guys here today.
Thank you very much. Great. As an industry expert, in your opinion, what are the main bottlenecks in PEMWE?
Well, there's a few of them. I think to set the stage, it is important to recognize and remember the goals that have been set for green hydrogen production towards 2030, towards 2050. According to the Hydrogen Council, the IEA, there's an expectation to have 600 gigawatt of electrolysis capacity by 2030. And more than 2,500 gigawatts by 2050. And what has been announced so far, it's about 100, 150 gigawatts of electrolysis. So there's a huge gap here. And the main bottleneck is then, manufacturing capacity and supply chain. Do we have that? do we have, who's going to supply all those electrolyzers in the future or in the upcoming years? So I think that that is the main question. Will we be able to scale up the production of electrolyzers?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head here, Alejandro. I think it's the IEA forecasted around 3,000 to 4,000 gigawatts of electrolyzers. And here we are only seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Correct. It's changing every day, right? With new goals, new numbers, and every day more and more higher and higher ambitions.
Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure that there is business for everyone, but we need to speed up things, right? I think reaching those targets are very ambitious. And as you mentioned, the supply chain is, we need to develop that supply chain in order to sustain, to actually provide the, you know, the materials, etc., to that electrolyzer industry.
Correct. Yeah. And I was not specific enough because you ask about the main bottlenecks of PEM electrolysis, and that what I just said goes for all the electrolyzer technologies. Okay, so if we start looking, well, that has to do with manufacturing capacity, facilities, right? Automation, really important, digitalization, quality control, all those things. I think the electrolyzer industry is starting to invest a lot of resources in it. There are several companies that have already announced or announcing the upscaling of their manufacturing capacity. So I think the industry is working towards that, including the PEM electrolyzer industry. How fast? That's a question to be answered.
And I guess the other bottleneck, I would say also for the area of electrolyzer, is the access to the labor. And this is also something that I'm hearing a lot from the industry, from all over the planet. You know, how can we get these people who are trained to really being absorbed by the industry and to do things pretty quickly? And this is also another issue, right?
Yes, I mean we have started up early 2020. We're about 20 people right now, and it's been really, really hard to increase the number of employees. We are sourcing from all over the world, but there's a lot of there's a lack of well-educated personnel, specifically for hydrogen technologies. And the ones that are there are highly, highly valuable, and everybody's fighting for basically the same people. Do you want to dive in into some of the specifics of the PEM electrolysis technology? We can't talk about PEM electrolysis without talking about PGMs, right?
Yes.
So, as you know, today we have electrolyzers that uses a lot of, well, PEM electrolyzers that uses a lot of precious metals. It's around between 2 or 3 milligrams per, you know, per square centimeter active area. And that's a lot. So there's, I think there's an iridium production capacity yearly about 8,000 kilograms per year of iridium. Now, if you do the math with a state-of-the-art PEM electrolyzer, that would take you, you know, in the order of the tens of gigawatts per year. With that capacity, so if already there you can do the number that wouldn't really take you all the way to the thousands of gigawatts that will be required by 2050. So something needs to be done. And I think there's a lot of companies that are doing that, reducing the catalyst loadings, making these PEM electrolyzers even more efficient, going to higher current densities. Those are the key things to work on, high current densities and making it more efficient, decreasing the loadings. If you can do that, if you can go down to loadings of around 1 milligram per square centimeter or below that, making the electrolyzers a little bit more efficient, those same 8,000 kilograms per year would take you to the, 50, 60 gigawatts per year, and towards, 1,000 gigawatts by 2050, which is half of what it would be required. So yes, there's an elephant in the room when it comes to the precious metals, but it is not impossible. The other thing that needs to be worked on is the recycling of the materials. There's no infrastructure for that or economic incentives today for electrolyzer companies to do that. And there might be very, I don't know how I don't know how to put it, but who will be the owner of the precious metals? Is it the end user? Is it the electrolyzer company? Is the MEA manufacturer? Could there be other business models when it comes to the precious metals? That's also something that needs to be worked on.
I completely agree with you, Alejandro, on these points. And when we go, let's go back to Rystar. I mean, where can you see your company addressing all those bottlenecks? Then, you think you could solve them pretty quickly, and you think you can really achieve those goals?
Yes, I really think so. I would need perhaps a little bit more time than what we have today to really go in fully and explain the Hystar electrolyzer technology. But if I may summarize it, what we have done is we have patented a technology that allows you to replace the thicker membranes in PEM electrolyzers with a very thin membrane. Doing that in a very safe and robust way, which is not trivial. It's not very easy. You can do it by new materials and recombination catalysts and so on. But we have found a very simple and elegant way of solving that problem. And that makes our electrolyzer extremely, extremely efficient. And we can operate these electrolyzers to very high current densities. And we can produce about a little bit more than double the amount of hydrogen for each active, for the each area or unit area, so to say. So by doing that, by doubling the hydrogen output, of course, we can reduce the number of cells and materials and reduce the loadings, make these electrolyzers working not only more efficiently, but also potentially reducing the capex by a lot. Now, the other advantage with this very highly efficient electrolyzer is that we are able to decrease the footprint of the electrolyzer. Now, that opens up a huge advantage when it comes to the manufacturing. What we are working on today, and I spend most of my time doing this, is to design an electrolyzer that is specifically intended for high volume manufacturing and automation. So what I'm doing is I'm setting the footprint of my electrolyzer according to the MEA, the capacity of the MEA manufacturers. So the MEAs that I'm using are roll-to-roll MEA. They were manufactured by roll-to-roll. everything else, the bipolar plates, everything is high volume manufacturing, and that has been taken. That technology has been taken from the PEM fuel cell world. Yes. So we are using PEM fuel cell manufacturing lines for our electrolyzer. And I think that is really unique and special. And it will take us, you know, to multi-gigawatt manufacturing capabilities pretty soon.
This is great. This is great what you're doing. In fact, you hit the nail on the head here. In fact, taking what we've learned for so many years in the fuel cell sector, in PEM fuel cells, I'm trying to translate that to actually take what we've learned so far into the PEMWE area. I think it's very important because we don't want to reduplicate the work, and we know exactly that what works doesn't work. Yeah, that's a very good strategy.
And it's not only the knowledge, it's the actual manufacturing lines.
Yes. Yeah.
That are already established.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, in your opinion, so if no, you don't have a crystal ball here, but what would you say is the future for the PEMWE technology? I mean, obviously now it's taking, you know, a lot of I would say market share, but can you see actually what is the future for that technology?
I think it's a bright future. I wouldn't be in it if I didn't think that. But as I was pointing out earlier, there is no zero emission future for the world without the use of large scale green hydrogen production. There's no path. So this is not only for PEM, but it goes for all electrolyzer technologies. They will be crucial in order for us to achieve the goals and targets that are being set. Now, what I, especially for PEM electrolyzers, I think they have some advantages in some areas. Yeah, it is very well known that they work very good with the highly intermittent renewables, for example. The cycling, the start and stops, and so on. They have some advantages on the footprint as well. The systems tend to be much more compact and smaller, and also for higher pressure or hydrogen pressure applications, there might be some efficiency advantages as well during the compression steps. Now, when it comes to, you know, the vast majority of electrolyzers in the future will be installed in these multi-gigawatt facilities. And I don't believe that one multi-gigawatt facility will only be one electrolyzer technology. There might be a combination of multiple electrolyzer technologies in 1 gigawatt or multi-gigawatt facility. Let's say high temperature SOEC, taking the base load, you know, the most efficient one, a little bit more expensive and so on, but it would take, and then perhaps combine that with, PEM or AM electrolysis, taking the peaks and things like that, like a hybrid gigawatt electrolyzer plant. But again, there's no crystal ball here. I just know that there will be a bright future for all electrolyzer technologies.
Yes, I do agree. So that will be a portfolio of different technologies in the market, and then it's going to be really, there's no winners here. There's no, you know, it's going to be pretty much bespoke to the industry or the application, so on and so forth.
Last correct. Question. Correct. As an engineer, you have to do the math, right?
Yes, absolutely.
What is the most cost-effective way of utilizing your renewable power? So you have to do the math.
Absolutely. I have a last question for you. It's actually, I'm going to divert you to another technology, which is, I would say, so far the flavor of the month, you know, the AEMWE, and lots of people are talking about it, and, you know, we know the pros and cons. I mean, what are your viewpoints on this technology?
Well, before I started as a CTO at Highstar, I was working as a senior researcher at SINTEF in Norway, and I worked a lot with the AEM. I was even coordinating one of these large European projects within the topic. I really like it. I mean, if everything would work, it's the perfect hybrid with alkaline and PEM. You have an alkaline system where the need for precious metals is a lot lower, and you have a membrane that allows you to operate your electrolyzer very safe and very dynamic. There are some challenges there as well. The stability of the catalysts, the electrodes, even though it's alkaline, it is not straightforward to produce these porous electrodes and make them functional in an alkaline environment. So I think the AEM has a little bit. A little bit more to go and to prove itself when it comes to durability and performance. The performance is really good, but the stability and durability, I would like to see much more of it.
Yes, many challenges there as well, but I think it's a technology tool. So look, to watch out. I would say, but yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely. Look, thank you very much, Alejandro. Thank you so much for taking the time to really, I mean, you're a very, very busy man, and you know, we've taken enough time now but we are looking forward to seeing you in Berlin in December, so the 7th and 8th of December 2022, and that's going to be our first International Berlin Electrolyzer Conference. And again, for those who are listening to us, so Dr. Alejandro Oyarzabal is the CTO of iStar, and iStar is a Norwegian company, electrolyzer manufacturing company. And if you have any questions, then please do contact him. We will put the information on the LinkedIn and with all his details. So please feel free to reach out to him. Last point, our next Berlin Electrolyzer podcast will be in 1 month's time. So please stay tuned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruno. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.